Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. You want to read it with me? Some of you sound like you want to read it with me. Let's all read it together. King James, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. That's you. That's me. That's you. That's me. I'm telling you right there's living. I'm living. You want to know what living is? That right there's living. Amen. When you read things in the Word, identify yourself. Put yourself in there and say, that's me. That's the way I live. And you say, I've got to figure stuff out before I can trust. No, just say, that's me. That's me. Even if I don't understand, and I know the Lord's talking to me through His Word or the Spirit. Of course, the Spirit's always in agreement with the Word. I trust that. I trust that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to what? That's another word for your noodle. What's your noodle? That's that thing that twists around inside your skull. made mostly of cholesterol, by the way. I won't get into that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your understanding. Don't lean to have to understand everything, figure everything out. And people that have to figure everything out or understand everything with their brain that's coming up out of their heart, they'll never be faith people. You never be faithful, but you got to get to the place where you trust what's in here. Amen. And so he teaches us that here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding. Then verse number 6, in all your ways. How many of them?
All
of them. Would that be most of them? How many of them would that be? All of them. In all your ways, that's with your kids, that's raising your children, that's how you operate in your marriage, that's how you, operate, all your financial dealings and everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. And what will he do? Amen. The first three parts, first part of verse number 6 is us doing something. Then he said, I will direct your paths. Oh, I like that. How many of you know he's not going to direct our paths into something terrible, something harmful, something, destructive, something that tears us down, ruins our lives, destroys our joy, and destroys our good life. How many of you know he said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it less. Huh? Have it what? More what? Abundantly. Abundant life. Abundant life. That's God's plan for us. Abundance. Abundance of what? Well, everything that's his. Joy. Peace. Oh man, I thank God for peace. I had torment. I'll take some more peace, man. And just everything he has for us. Abundance. Abundance of wisdom. Making right decisions because of direction of the Spirit. Abundance of guidance. And abundance of revelation of what he has to say to us in the Word. Abundance of strength to run our race. Glory to God. Abundance of all that we need financially and everything. Just God's a God of abundance. And if you don't believe that, don't go to heaven. Because if you don't like abundance, that scares you, then don't go to heaven. You're going to go crazy up there. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he'll direct your paths. He's going to direct you into the good life, the life that he's prearranged and made ready for you to live. You ever read that? Ephesians 2:10, the Amplified. So we see here God's plan for how to get into these directions and so forth. You have to trust the direction. You can't try to figure it out with your head. And third of all, you have to acknowledge what he's directing you to do. Say it out loud. Trust it. Because let me back up so make sure you understand. Notice it ends with, I'll direct your paths.
Yes. Yes.
So in order to get into this direction, we have to trust what he's directing us to do, number one.
Yeah.
We have to, number two, do what? No, number two, don't lean to our understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Yeah. Right? And then number three, what?
Acknowledge
Him in all your ways. In other words, whenever He's directing you, acknowledge that. Amen.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it.
Amen.
Well, what does that mean, acknowledge it? I'm so glad you asked, because I brought some definitions this morning. It carries the idea of knowledge. You can see the word knowledge in there, can't you? Acknowledge, knowledge is in there. You take the AC off there, and that's knowledge.
Right.
So acknowledgement includes having knowledge of what He's directing you into. Now somebody said, I just don't know what He's guiding me to do, what He's directing me to do.
Come on.
Well, acknowledge 1 John 2:20.
All right now. Uh-huh. Come on.
Yes.
Come on. Yeah.
1 John 2:20. What's that say? Anybody know? Maybe don't know the reference, but you probably know the verse. 1 John 2:20, ye have an unction. Is this true about you and me, or is this just the old, you know, days, you know, old back there in the early days of the church? Is this true about you and I? Just, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you just don't know. You're in the dark. I mean, God doesn't share with you what to do. I mean, you know, no. You have an unction from the Holy One. This is a good confession. We should acknowledge this. You have an unction. That's all of us. We as believers have an unction. The word unction is translated anointing.
Yes.
7 verses later, He said, the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. So He's talking about the anointing in you to tell you, guide you, instruct you, show you what to do, direct your life, teach you the word, guide you into all truth, comfort you, counsel you. Oh, man.
Hallelujah.
Where would you be without the Holy Spirit? You'd be in the dark. You'd be in the dark and messed up. I'm not talking down to you. I would be too. I don't even think I'd be alive, be honest with you. Thank God for the helper. But He said, back to verse number 20 now, 1 John 2:20. I'm just referring to it. I think if you look in your Bible, you'll see I'm right. If you never read it. 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One. And what? And you know.
We know. That's right. We know.
Oh, I don't know. What does He say? And you know what? What do you know? Oh, my goodness. I do not. He's talking about the things of God. I don't know. Well, see, apparently, there's someone in you who does. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. So you could say, He's saying, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you know.
Yes, we do.
Why? Because the all-knowing one lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
Acknowledge Him. Talk about Him.
Yes.
We just read it, so we have the knowledge of it. Remember, how many of you know, greater is He that is in you. So the one that's in you is the Holy Spirit. We've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in us. Did He come when you were born again? Is He inside of every believer? Has He gone on vacation and left you for a while? Maybe come back, maybe at the next year, beginning of 2020? No, He's in there. Jesus said He'll abide with you forever. Woo, glory. He's in there. Well, he's in there for a purpose. He's not in there as a hitchhiker, just kind of, he wanted a ride back to heaven. So he thought he'd take up residence in you so when you go to heaven, he could get back to heaven. I never heard anybody say that. That's pretty funny, isn't it? Because He came from heaven. He was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and He's down here on the earth. And he'd probably like to go back to heaven. No, I'm just kidding. So he just decided to take up residence in us so we could, he just hitchhike along for the ride until he gets back to heaven. No, no, he's in there. He's got a job to do. He's got a ministry. And this is one of his ministries to let you know, to direct your life, to let you know what you need to know. And he said, you have an unction, the Holy Spirit, He's the one, and you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Why? Because the all-knowing one lives in you. Now, where is He dwelling? He's not dwelling in your head. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because that's where you believe. With the heart, man believes, the Bible says. With the heart, man believes. You don't believe God for whatever, you know, whatever he's dealing with you about. You don't believe God with your head. You can't figure out how God's going to do what he does. I got some big things on the inside of me. Anybody got some big things on the inside of me? And I've been here many times. I'm at another one right now. Just looks impossible. And my head could say, no, throw in the towel. Throw in the towel, call in the monkeys, whatever. Just, it's over. There's no way. But I've been here too much. I have trusted him too much. Whenever I have something in here, I keep acknowledging what he's saying. I keep taking the steps that he's saying, and I keep acknowledging what he tells me to do. And before long, we'll be standing right in the middle of it. And people will say, how'd you do that? And we'll go, yeah. Because a lot of times you don't know how. How does God do what he does? Man, he gets things done. Doesn't he know how to get things done? Our trouble is we're trying to figure it out. How's God going to do this? Whatever he's saying in his word, you know, there's times he's really emphasizing certain things to you in the word. You know, right now, like Brother Dane might be getting a lot in his heart about marriage and things like that.
Not wrong.
Hey, you got some news for us? No, I'm just saying. Amen.
Leave that alone.
Huh? Yeah, I better come over here. Better check his pockets for rotten tomatoes, you know. But you go through seasons where you, or she might be the one throwing them at me. You go through seasons. He's really dealing with you about things, right?
Yeah.
And you know that he has more for you in that area, whether it's whatever he's dealing with you about. I remember Brother Hagin on the bed of sickness. He said, first thing, when he first got born again, because how many of you know when he was born again, the Holy Spirit came into him. First, when he first got born again, he said, suddenly he knew, I don't have, he's what, 16, 17 years old? Suddenly he knew, because the doctor said he had to die. Nobody had lived past a certain age, I think his age actually. Yeah. With that condition. But he said he knew somehow or another, he knew he didn't have to die now.
Yeah.
Why? Because the one who knew that came into him.
Amen.
He knew. The Holy Spirit knew he didn't have to die. And remember, he would say, I just don't know how. And he'd put out the light because he'd try to figure it out and say, well, no, the doctor said nobody passed in this condition could live past a certain age. You remember that?
Yeah.
And but he'd get quiet and that knowing would come back.
Yes.
And he said, somehow I just knew I didn't have to die. And second of all, I knew that the answer is in this book. How many of you know that's where all our answers are? You just know that you know you don't have to be in debt anymore. You just know. I'll never forget whenever I found out my dad's farm, because I just thought it was all his and my dad's farm was mortgaged and the bank owned it, you know. I never got so disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Because in here I knew I was born again. In here I knew.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing that.
Yes,
I got a mortgage on my house. So don't misunderstand me. But I just know God has something better for me.
Yes,
and I knew that as a youngster.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing. Yeah. You know, I'm not. I mean, if you know, we just don't want to settle for just get by.
Exactly. Yeah.
God wants supernatural lives.
Yes.
But anyway, so he just, Brother Hagin just knew it was in the Word, and he got in there, and sure enough, they said he had to die at 17, and he lived to 86. Because he listened to the one who knew. And let him teach him. The Holy Spirit will take you through your own individual faith school. He will take you, he'll start you wherever you are. How many of you know there's no criticism for anybody that's just beginning to walk with God. Everybody starts out a baby spiritually like we start out a baby naturally. Nobody starts out robust in faith. None of that on the top, you know, so forth, so on. Everybody starts at the bottom. Like a tourist went through Europe one time. He stopped this little hamlet to get a drink. Ask a man sitting out on the bench out front, anybody famous ever been born in this little hamlet? And the old man sitting on the front bench said, no, just babies.
Yep. Just babies.
Amen. Everybody starts out where we all start out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
which is on the bottom. You know what I'm talking about? The only place you start out on top is when you're digging a hole. Otherwise, you always start out on the bottom. Ask your wife when you go home. She'll explain it to you. So, trust in the Lord. The Lord, the one that knows your answer, he lives on the inside of you. Oh, sometimes this challenges me so strongly. Certain things, I just know in here, they don't have to be this way. They don't, whether it's my life or someone else, I'm trying to, you know, help them. It just doesn't have to be this way. Our life should be such a shining difference from the world. Because the one who has all our answers is living right on the inside of us. And he'll do just like Brother Hagin. He'll take us right back to the Word. Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. And then he said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you worse off. The truth will do what? Make you free. Can you be free from whatever's harassing you right now? Is there a way out? But I don't know. Well, there's someone in you who does. And he's trying to go, hey! Hey! Scratch, scratch, scratch. Knock, 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 knock. Hey! Hello! He's trying to get your attention. Your mind's on other things. Oh, glory. I don't believe that we have to ever fail again at anything. The potential is in us to make right decisions, to do the right thing every time from now on. Now, have we all arrived there? No, but I'm saying that potential's on the inside. All right, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge includes having knowledge, but acknowledge is much more than that. It means having the knowledge of something, but it also means it often, if you look up the word acknowledge, it literally means an open, frank confession or declaration of something you own up to. Did you get that? Acknowledge. An open, frank, or confession or declaration of something that you own up to. It means to express realization or recognition of something. So in other words, you know, it's like, you ever seen politicians, somebody finds out something on them, you know, whatever, sleeping around with somebody else than their wife, something. Yeah. We're just making stuff up, not think of anybody, but you know how these things go around sometimes. Yeah. And it's true, but they don't want to, no. And for months, no. Yeah. No, they're just trying to, you know, hinder my campaign, you know, no. Yeah. And then the video, whatever, some evidence comes out. Yeah. Everybody knows it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have to get up and acknowledge it. How many of you know it wasn't the acknowledgement of it that made it true?
Right.
It
was already true. It was true. Yeah. It's just that they did not express any or make any declaration or any statement or own up to what was true. Come on now, I'm preaching better than your amen. They didn't act like that what was being said was true. They didn't express realization or recognition. They act like they didn't think it was true. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're talking about acknowledging the Lord or acknowledging the directions of the Spirit. Acknowledging the Word, first of all. It's not enough to come to church and learn what God has to say about us.
Right.
It's not enough to recognize. Now, this is good. And it's a good step. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not enough to just recognize what the Spirit of God's dealing with our hearts about.
Yeah. Right.
Notice he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You got to trust that.
Right.
And then you got to not lean to your own understanding. And then acknowledge.
Yes.
Own up to what he's dealing with you about. Own up to his directions. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I, as a pastor, have endeavored to do is to help people recognize what they already know. What they already know. You know, they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I just don't know. I just sometimes I think I should do this, and they're talking, and while they're talking, they'll tell you what they know. They'll tell you. You don't tell them. You don't have to tell them. See, it's not the pastor's job to tell people what to do. I mean, other than do the word. But you know, as far as, you know, should they marry that person or should they not or whatever.
Come on.
Amen. I don't want that responsibility. Because what if I miss God? I mean, all I do is say, whoops. And walk away. And you got a mess on your hands. Well, what if, Pastor, I've heard you prophesy some things sometimes. Yeah, but you better run that through your own spirit. Don't you dare just go do something because somebody said something. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want that. But that, I don't want that. See, it's your life. You ought to be more interested than I am on hitting these things. Getting these directions. But anyway, so sometimes I can tell people know what to do. And they're telling you, they're sitting there telling you that they know what to do, but then they say, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I say, listen to yourself. Just seems like if I get quiet, it just seems like it should do this. I said, listen to yourself. Yeah, but I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do know what to do. You just told me what you know.
Amen.
See, they're not taught to listen to that. They're not taught to listen to that. And listen, multitudes of Christians have not been taught to listen to what they know.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about they know up here.
Right.
You have an unction and you know is not in your head.
Right.
You don't know in your head so many. There are a lot of things you don't know in your head.
Yeah.
I mean, many times over your head's a big question mark. But in your spirit, there's no question in your spirit. Your spirit knows. There's a big exclamation point in there. He knows. He knows. He knows. You ever been around certain people? Just something ain't right. Praise the Lord. I haven't even got off the first paragraph yet. Knowledge refers to something within a person. Acknowledgement is often referring to something external. It's an outward confession of what they know. How many of you know we ought to start saying what we know? If you don't know, in your head, start saying, I have an unction. The one in me, he knows all things. He directs my life. The anointing guides me into all truth. Rather than a bunch of confessions about other things, just say what you know. What do you know? You know the one who knows is inside of you. And he's my helper. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your mind's not renewed until, just because you got the knowledge of God's word, it's renewed because that word is given its proper place of authority into your life.
Amen.
It's given this proper place of authority. What do I mean, the proper place of authority? In other words, what you know from the Spirit and you know from the word, you acknowledge it.
Yes.
That's what I mean by acknowledging. You give the things of God their proper place and their proper voice into your life.
Yes.
You don't just know it, but you give it its proper place.
Yes.
The Spirit of God is to be yielded to, responded to. But the first step of response is acknowledgement. Well, but Pastor, I don't know. That's why you don't know. By saying you don't know. Acknowledge the one in you who knows. Now go to Philemon. Aren't you glad we finally got to Philemon 1:6? What's it say? Somebody start it out for me. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the what?
Acknowledging.
Oh, there's that word. The acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So what are we supposed to do with these things that are in us in Christ? Acknowledge them. Now, the King James, I would say, has done a great job most of the time translating from the Greek or Hebrew into the English. Most of the time, very good job. But here, they butchered it. They just messed this up. If you look up the word translated here, communication, it's the word for throughout all the New Testament, sharing or fellowship. It's translated both ways, sharing or fellowship. How many people fellowshipping together, they're sharing over the things of God together or something like that. So when you look that up, communication means fellowship or sharing. Really, here's the way this should be translated. The faith we share in common. The communication of that faith means the faith we share in common. Will become effectual means active. Through the what? Acknowledgement of every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. Taylor translates says the rich treasure. Something about treasure. I think it says rich treasure. Acknowledge the rich treasures that are in you in Christ.
Yes.
Ooh, man. In other words, own up to it. The word confess, we talk about faith and confession, don't we? There's confession of sin. There's a place for that. Then there's a confession of faith. The Bible says, hold fast the confession of your faith.
Yes.
Never says, hold fast the confession of your sin.
No.
You do that once and you move past it, and then you confess your faith.
That's right.
Faith, confession, you hold fast. But if you look up the word confession, when it comes to faith, it means to say the same thing as. Say the same thing as. So when you're acknowledging, he said, acknowledge him in all your ways. Or here he said, acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus, the rich treasure of things that are in you in Christ. Acknowledge that. That means say the same things as.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Say the same.
Yes.
As what? Everything that's in you in Christ. But how are you going to find out what's in you in Christ? The Word shows you who you are in Christ. The Word shows you what He's made you in Christ and what's in you and who is in you. The teacher's in you. The guide is in you. The one who knows all things is in you. We need to get this out of our mouth. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Yeah.
We're talking out of our head.
Yeah.
I just don't know what God's saying. I just don't know what God's telling me to do. You know, you might not know, there's things we don't know. It's like, you know, where did so-and-so go? You know, they left, where did they go? I don't know. If I needed to know, the one who knows all things is in me and would tell me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Really, I think we ought to develop our spirit that we know a whole lot more.
All right.
Yeah.
A whole lot more than what we say we do.
That's right. Oh, that's good.
Amen. Anyway, so acknowledge that our faith becomes active by the acknowledging of every good thing. Good things. Oh, there's good things in you. Huh? Well, I know, Pastor, I don't want to get into pride. Acknowledge the good things in you in Christ. The Bible said He has blessed us to make us a blessing. Acknowledge it.
Amen.
Oh, I just don't know. I'm not much of a blessing. You liar, you. I'm not trying to be mean, but you know what I'm talking about. Somebody's not telling the truth here now.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
He said He's blessed you to make you a blessing.
He sure did.
I mean, what are we waiting on? Till we get to heaven? Till you're a blessing? I mean,
No, come on.
You are a blessing right now.
Right now.
Acknowledge it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Acknowledge it.
Amen.
He has blessed me, and I am a blessing. Oh, Pastor, now I don't want to, you know, I don't want to think more highly of myself, you know, think too highly of myself. Okay, go to Romans 12, verse number 3. Romans 12, verse number 3. What's Romans 12, verse number 3 say? I say to you, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, so he's talking to believers, it's every man that's among you, not to think more highly of himself. Oh, that Pastor, that's me. I don't want to think highly of myself. No, that's not what he said. Read it. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. So there is a place where a person could think more highly than they ought. But that doesn't mean anybody who thinks highly of themselves is in pride.
That's right. Amen.
Yep.
Now notice he's addressing the way we think of ourselves.
Yes.
You have thoughts about other people, other situations, other happenings, events, and all. You know, we all have an opinion.
Yeah.
But notice here he's talking about how we think of ourselves.
Yeah.
People think of themselves, they see themselves too often through the eyes, or in other words, they see themselves through the lens of the voice of the accuser of the brethren. The one who goes about accusing us before our God day and night. Rather than see ourselves through the eyes of God. Well, I don't want to think highly of myself. Why not? Well, I don't want to be in pride. Well, we understand that. But pride, we got to understand, we got to define what pride is. What is pride? I'll boil it down real simply. It's believing a lie. I could take a long time to show you how that definition it comes through the word, but it basically, if a guy is boasting about something, like take for example, you know, somebody preaches a good sermon and somebody says, "Man, you did a good job." You say, "Thank you." That's pride.
That is pride. Yeah. Totally.
It was the ability that God gave him to do that.
That's right.
That enabled him to share something that was a blessing. That's the truth.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Pride says, "Yeah, I did do a pretty good job, didn't I?"
Yeah.
You just wait till next Sunday. I was right. So pride is believing a lie. See, what's the lie there? The lie is that he could do that without the helper, without the teacher, without the one who showed him what to preach and, you know, gave him illustrations right on the spot that he hadn't even thought of. Amen. See, it was the helper flowing through him that enabled him or her, you know, to bless anybody. Amen. And so pride is basically believing a lie. Okay, then what would humility be then? Believe the truth. Believe the truth. And if you're believing the truth, that's not believing more highly or thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. What is the truth? What is the truth? Well, the word of God is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So when you and I think in line and acknowledge the word, which is the truth, that's not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think.
No.
Huh?
No.
People struggle with these things.
Yes, sir.
We want to acknowledge the truth in humility.
Yes.
Not you know, because, you know, you see things in the Word of God. Remember, well, let's just remember Philemon 1:6. The communication, the faith you share in common becomes active through the acknowledging that's every good thing that's in you, period?
In Christ.
Every good thing that's in you, what?
In Christ.
Oh, right there it is.
Come on.
Not in you or myself.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
These are in Christ realities.
That's right.
In Christ truths.
Yes.
Not in ourselves.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. So we are to acknowledge who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes.
And that's not pride. That's not thinking of ourselves more highly. We are to say, "I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places."
Yes.
That's a high place. Well, I don't want to think too highly of myself. That's not pride, because it's true.
That's correct.
That's right.
I said it's true.
That's right.
You are seated far above.
Yes.
All the forces arrayed against you.
Yes. Amen.
In Christ.
In Christ.
That's right.
Acknowledge it. Say it. Declare it. And your faith will become active. I said your faith will become active. And faith is the victory. I said faith is the victory. So do you understand acknowledgement a little bit more? A man who acknowledges something, he no longer denies it. You know, people are saying things all the time, Christians, that are denying the truth. They're saying, they're sick, broke, busted, and disgusted. That's denying, that's failing to acknowledge God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Either because they don't have the knowledge of His Word, That's the case a lot of times. Or they're just living in the flesh and they're speaking out of their feelings rather than out of their covenant.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Rather than out of their redemptive rights. But see, that's why their faith doesn't work. Because he said, this is how your faith becomes active. By acknowledging.
Yes.
Say the truth. I love the story. Brother Copeland told this story. His mother, she was a powerhouse in God. I guess she, conducted healing school or something on his premises there for a while. She's in heaven now. But she said, she was preaching one day and a dear pastor had come. He was needing healing of something. I don't recall what it was. And so he came up after with one of the sessions and said to her, you know, this runs in my family and whatever. I was wanting to say it's diabetes or something. I could be wrong. But he was telling her, this runs in my family and so forth and so on. And I've been diagnosed with diabetes, whatever it was. And she said, well, tell me the truth about it. And he looked at her like, I just did. So, well, it runs in my family. He repeated it. And she said, tell me the truth about it.
Truth.
Well, he said, I guess this lady doesn't hear very well. runs in my family, and the doctor said I have it. And she said, tell me what the Word of God says
about it.
And he got it.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what else he got? Yes. Healed. Because he stopped acknowledging a lie and started acknowledging the truth.
Yes. Amen.
The truth.
Yes. Yes.
When you acknowledge it, will make you free.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot I better stop saying then. Yeah, you better. Faith is the victory.
Yes.
This is how we get from where we are to victory.
Amen.
Stop acknowledging what the devil's saying. Well, I don't know if it was the devil. If it's not in line with the word, it's a lie. Yeah, but the hoogamooga is still there. Well, we're not saying deny it's there. We're just simply saying acknowledge the truth. What's the truth? By his stripes, hoogamooga was healed. I'm healed of hoogamooga.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You're going to stand before the judge. He wants the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Come on.
So you just stand before the devil and tell him the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Yeah, but feel that? See, I'm not living in feeling. I'm living in the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Have you ever walked by feelings and had thoughts about certain situations only to find out later it wasn't even true?
Yeah.
I just feel like so-and-so doesn't love me. And I feel like, you know, they've been ignoring me in church and they don't like me or they know something. Maybe somebody's spreading a rumor about me or something. I just feel like until you find out later it was nothing.
Not even true.
You feel like you're about this tall for believing that lie. Wasn't a truth.
Right.
You were acknowledging a truth. You were believing a truth. You were acknowledging a lie and you were believing a lie. And it feels terrible to find that out. Except when you find out in the things of God that you were believing a lie, it's good news. Now you know how to get out of what you've been bound with. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what do I mean by acknowledgement? It's like a mom. I've used this illustration before. It's like a mom who, she's talking to her kids and they're not paying any attention. She gets him by the ear, pulls him over there and says, what did I say? What's she looking for? Acknowledgement. Now listen, children are terrible at acknowledgement. They have to be trained. They can be really good at it, but I mean they have to be trained. Without being trained, they're terrible. Teenagers can be worse.
Preacher.
Yeah, if they're not trained. But they can be trained. What does that tell you? Immaturity doesn't acknowledge.
All right now.
Yeah.
When you finally mature, you start acknowledging God.
Yes, you do. That's so good.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, spiritually, the same thing is true. Spiritually immature people, they don't acknowledge God.
Yeah.
I mean, they can have a marvelous thing turn around in their life and they think it's coincidence.
Come on.
They don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge his word?
Yeah.
Well, that probably would have happened anyway.
No.
That's immaturity right there.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a thumbsucker, man. Immaturity recognizes God and says, that was God.
Yes.
Even in the little things.
Yeah.
Whew, glory. We had a happening this week. Oh, my. It was so God we were there. And God made a divine connection. People could look at it on the outside and say, oh, well, you know. But in here, even talk about right now, my spirit's gone.
Yeah.
Just jumping up and down. I'll tell you about it sometime.
Hallelujah.
I recognize God whenever I see him.
Hallelujah.
So immaturity doesn't recognize or doesn't acknowledge God. Amen. I know some of you young people come into, you know, maybe at lunch today. It'd be a good idea to do it right away. Say, Mom and Dad, I acknowledge the place you have in my life. The voice you have into my life. I know God said God gave you to me as parents to speak into my life, train me up. And I recognize that. We'll respond to that. Now, whenever you and Mom get back up off the floor, you can finish. From now on, I will respond to all your directions without complaining, without rebellion.
Yes.
Come on now.
Happy to do it.
That's right.
And I will end all of my sentences with, yes, Mom.
Yes.
Yes, Dad.
Yes. Oh, man.
It is my honor to receive your direction as a parent. And then you can go get oxygen for them so they'll be revived. See, what maturity that would express. Isn't that right? Well, let's just take that into the spiritual thing. What maturity it would express before God to say, whenever he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Honor the Lord with your substance. And we say, Lord, your voice into my life, I recognize. I give that full place. You have authority to speak into my life and direct all my affairs. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. And Father, I will do that for the rest of my life. It is my joy, Father. You might even get Jesus up in heaven saying, going, God, did you hear that? Father, we have a winner. Praise the Lord. That's all of us. That's all of us. Praise the Lord. So glad you came this morning, right? Now let's just, we got a little bit of time here. Let's just start emphasizing something here. Back to the Holy Spirit, acknowledging the inner witness, acknowledging the guide on the inside. You want to look at that a little bit more? So many times we're trying to get people to respond to the direction or leading of the Holy Spirit, but that starts with acknowledgement. I want to encourage you to start saying more and more all the time, the unction, the anointing lives in me and teaches me, I know all that I need to know. I know all things. And start saying, I know his voice. The voice of strangers I don't follow. I recognize when he's talking to me. That's what that means. I know his voice. I recognize when he's talking to me. Somebody said, yeah, but you never have. Shut up. I'm saying now, I acknowledge he lives on the inside of me. See, whenever you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, he becomes active.
Amen.
And acknowledgement helps in the area of recognition. So begin to say that. And as the promptings come, or the direction comes, respond to that. Acknowledge it, first of all, and then act like it was the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
What if it wasn't? You'll learn.
You'll learn.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
You don't find out. You don't learn to follow the Spirit, the directions of the Spirit, by sitting back and going, I wonder. If you sense it is, start taking steps.
Yeah.
You'll find out if it's not. Amen. So it's easier to direct a moving vehicle than one sitting still. So start making some moves.
Amen.
You know, what you sense God saying to you. Amen. Jesus said to Brother Hagin, now people get all upset about this, but that's between him and God. I'm not bothered by it. If you learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Learn to follow. Learn to follow. Notice that's different from getting a leading. He didn't say, if you get a leading. No, he said, learn to follow. Learn to follow. The Holy Spirit's not leading you or I into being broke. No, he's leading us into all truth. Truth is we're redeemed from poverty. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to lead you into it. See, God planned it, Jesus purchased it, and the Holy Ghost is the performer of it. You gotta follow the Holy Ghost to get into what Jesus purchased and God planned. He'll teach you and he'll guide you right into it. But like we said, the direction when it comes, learn to follow. Brother Hagin said, the Lord said, learn to follow. Follow doesn't mean sitting still. Follow means taking steps. In faith. In faith. Boy, if there's one thing I would love to do to every believer in the body of Christ is pry them out of their do-nothingness. Christians ought to be taking steps. We're taking steps in aviation. All sorts of things are happening. Things I haven't even talked to you about yet. We just flew our first flight. I told Justin when I was down there, I said, you know, the funds, we put aside some funds into an account for just for aviation. I said, and those funds in there, we've been paying bills for what, a year now? I think he's back directing maybe. Has it been a year or something like that? We've been paying for that, all that training and everything. Yeah. And, you know, the funds in that account for the, just for aviation, I'm not talking about J. Everly Ministries over here, I'm talking about just in that account. Yeah. That fund, you would think, okay, paying bills is going down, except it's not. It's going up. The balance. I'm talking about the balance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Go figure. No, don't.
No.
No. Right. Yeah. Right.
Part of the plan. Yeah.
Huh? Why is it that way? Because we're following.
Yes.
We're following.
So good.
I said we're following.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. The things that are happening, like we went down there and God gave us a connection with a pilot who, oh, my. And he said, you call me. Here's my number. Call me. You're going to call me now. Yeah, we're going to call you. You're going to call me now, right? Okay. I can save you a whole lot of trouble. Here's how you do this. Don't do it that way. That's not the way to do it. Do it this way. Why? It'll save you all that money. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Which plane are you wanting to get into, 421? Oh, I got all the schematics on that. I'll give you all the training whenever you go to the simulator. You'll already be. How much? Nothing. Just here.
Praise God.
Why? Because we're acknowledging.
Yes. Amen.
And we're following.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. See, you're not excited because it's not you. You got bottom stuck on the seat itis. You know what I'm talking about? You got to get up and start moving. Well, I don't know how. I can't figure it out. Exactly. God's not calling you to do something you can do. He's calling you to do something you can't do. This is spirit of faith, family, church. Spirit of faith, family, church. Say it with me. Spirit of faith, family, church. And that means we get into things we can't do. Hallelujah. See, the reason some people's life is so boring is they're not taking any steps. They're not acknowledging. Well, I could never do that. That's the only thing they acknowledge is what they can't do. Don't acknowledge who you are in yourself. And that means you can't do anything in yourself. Jesus himself said, I can on my own self do nothing. And you can do less than that. And me too. But we're not in it. Aren't you glad we're not in ourselves? We're not trusting our own ability, our own resources.
Glory.
My. If you learn to follow, not if you get a leading. Following means responding. Start taking steps. Yeah, but I don't know how that's going. That's trusting with that. That's leaning to your own understanding. Isn't that what that is? Yeah. That's leaning to your own understanding. All right. So if you're still glad you came, can you handle a little bit more? What does acknowledge mean? It means rather than ignoring what he's saying and hoping it'll go away, you fess up to it. You say the same thing as. When the Lord said to me years ago, he said, what did I call you to do? And you know, back then we were traveling full time, and I know that's part of God's plan now. I said, you called me to travel, but when he finally got through what he was saying. And then he said, what's the good of the land traveling? I said, well, that'd be our own air jet. He said, don't set anything else in motion now. Because I started saying, I don't think I ever want to. You know what it was? It was just my flesh didn't want to have to use my faith. That's what a lot of people, I just don't want to. Their flesh just wants to live comfortable rather than out on the edge.
Come on.
The edge of your faith. You never get anywhere with sitting back where it's comfortable. You get places by getting out on the edge.
That's so good.
Oh, you're telling it.
So I began to acknowledge aviation was a part of his plan years ago and have been acknowledging it. And then the Lord said phase three, and that's now. So we just started taking steps with no idea how it was going to work. That's not my, if it's his plan, then he's got bills and he's paying them royalty. He even puts extra in the account and pays them. He pays them and then puts extra in the account. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not happy because it's not you. Boy, it was sweet driving or flying down there. Sweet. 7.5 hours on the ground, 2 hours in this little wee plane, slowest one you can get. 2 hours and whatever, a half or something like that, roughly, just roughly. Ooh, flying through clouds. Oh, there's a cloud. Ooh, that was cool.
Glory!
All right. Now, let's wrap this up. Y'all glad you came?
Yes.
Knowledgement is moving beyond just knowing something inwardly and actually starting to take steps. Now, think of this. Jesus said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Passion Translation says, now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever He is Lord, there's freedom. Freedom, Weymouth says, freedom, where he is Lord, freedom is enjoyed. In other words, where the Holy Spirit is acknowledged and responded to and gets his way, freedom is enjoyed. Did you get that? Where the Spirit is Lord, really, where the Spirit of the Lord is, but it says, he's saying where the Spirit is Lord. You know how to make Jesus Lord? Make what the Spirit's dealing with you about Lord. Let what he says. See, the Spirit is the Lord talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, whatever he'll take of mine, whatever he hears of me, he'll share it with you.
Yes.
When you hear the Spirit, that's the Lord talking to you.
That's right.
So you got to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit in this life. If you're going to have Jesus be Lord. And where the Holy Spirit is made Lord, because that's Jesus talking to you, Weymouth says there's freedom is enjoyed. Enjoyed. I like to enjoy life, don't you? I like to enjoy freedom. If joy is freedom, then conviction, unacknowledged and resisted, is misery. You ever had the Lord deal with you about something? Let me give you an illustration. I'm trying to. Y'all are listening so well today. I'm going long because it's your fault. You know, pass the blame, pass the buck, you know, just. Somebody asked me this week, they said, how long do you preach? I said, I've tried for a long time to preach less than an hour, and I just can't do it. He said, I preached for 35 minutes. I said, bless you. I feel like I cheated people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can sit and watch a two-hour movie.
Come on. That's right.
I'm not his Lord. He'll stand before God, not before me. But I'm just saying, I've tried, and I just gave up. Give him an hour at least. But let me tell you about a time where the Spirit was not Lord, and it was misery. It's whenever God started dealing with me about pastoring. He started dealing with me, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So the Lord got louder. I went, blah, 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 blah. I didn't want to do it. I didn't think I would enjoy it. I didn't think it was part of God's. I could see where God ultimately wanted us to be, and I didn't see this intermediate, you know, just. So anyway, I was ignoring it, and I wasn't saying anything. I knew it, but I wasn't acknowledging it. I'd get dealings, and I wouldn't say anything to her, and wouldn't talk to my friends. And no, I mean, if you ignore it, it goes away, right? Not right. It gets louder. I'm ignoring it. Okay, Lord, you know, just talk to me about other things. I'm not listening to that. So, but it just got stronger and stronger. He kept dealing with me. I got so miserable. Actually, physically, I started getting weak. I was sleeping 12 hours a day. You know, in disobedience, you start opening the door of the devil. But I also, my conscience was really bothering me. I knew. And see, now road meetings are drying up. Finances are drying up. It started getting miserable. But why? I just simply wasn't acknowledging. I knew it, but I wasn't acknowledging it. And I was getting more and more miserable. Finally, we were at a meeting. We weren't even preaching. Some other ministers were ministering. And I'll never forget it. I knew. Actually, this one minister, and it's a story I never tell much, but this one minister called me out in the meeting. I wasn't preaching. They were just ministering. And they called me out and rebuked some things that they saw in the spirit. This particular minister was a prophet. Later, we were in the room eating, fellowshipping and eating with them. And I said, are you able, liberty, to share anything more? I knew it in here. And they said, yeah, death was tracking you. See, miserable and opening the door to the devil. So people think the way of following God is hard. No, the way of the transgressor is hard. So I'm not obeying. I'm not responding. Anyway, so that very meeting, I knew I've got to confess to these ministers, this one that saw death on me. I've got to confess to the host minister of the meeting. And of course, my wife and so forth. I've got to say this today. If I don't, I'm in trouble. Anybody ever been there? I'm trying to close. Just got to share this story. I'm talking about acknowledgement. So I just knew I've got to. I mean, God will never make you do anything, but it's going to be serious and dangerous. So I said, all right, and we were already leaving and everything. So tomorrow morning we're going to breakfast. All right, set it in my heart. Tomorrow morning I'm going to tell everybody there at the table or whenever I get a chance. So we're fellowshipping, and before we went into the restaurant, I said, I know you, the particular minister, has to catch a plane, but before we leave, I've got to tell everybody something. And, you know, I just want everybody to know, don't leave before I tell you. So we were actually getting in the car. They were taking this person to the airport, and we were with them. And it got quiet in the car. I said, well, here's my chance. Except the pastor's wife, the host pastor's wife in the back seat, spoke up and said, we're waiting. You know, they are good friends of ours. I said, well, the Lord's been dealing with me, and he told me I have to confess this and say this to you, acknowledge it to you as witnesses, as ministers, and acknowledge it to my wife. God's been dealing with me to pastor. Because we were full-time traveling ministry. Been dealing with me to pastor. And you lost your card. So I said, and so I just wanted to acknowledge that to everybody. And there was silence in the car. And the same pastor, pastor's wife, who said, we're waiting, started laughing.
Yeah.
I said, what are you laughing at?
Yeah.
I said, we've been knowing that a long time.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Could you stop? I need to deal with it. No, I'm just... No, I'm just kidding. But they all knew it. They bore witness. See, I knew it in my heart. But see, others are going to know. If God knows, if you know something, and people that you respect and speak into your life, they know it too.
Yeah, that's true.
They know it too.
Very true.
So I acknowledged it.
Yeah.
And it was like an elephant rolled off my chest.
Yeah.
See, all that misery, all that torment. I'm opening the door. I'm starting to open the door to the devil. Space to repent. You ever heard of that verse? Space to get it right. And so I was coming to the end of that space. And so I acknowledged it, and the Spirit, by acknowledging it, the Spirit became Lord. Freedom. Joy. Ha-ha! I'm willing now. Right? So I started praying about where and all that. I'll never forget it down in Florida. I said, Lord, I don't want to start a church. I don't want to take over a church. I want to start one. I'm thinking about Florida. And I'm just going through the list of what the Lord needs to talk to me about. And he said, you leave all that up to me. I acknowledge that, Lord. I will leave it all up to you. And I'm preaching down in Florida. And the phone rings and hello. Hello, is this Brother Jay? Yeah, this is Pastor Tim Horton.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
There it was.
Yeah.
He said, I saw on your schedule, you're coming up here to Iowa to preach. I want you to preach. I saw you. Do you have an opening? I said, yeah, we could do it such. I said, okay, why don't you come preach?
Yep.
I said, good. I said, we're glad to do it. Hadn't seen you for a while. Look forward to some fellowship, so forth. Good, yep. You know, and he talks and talks and talks. Then he said, and right before he hung up, and then before you go, I got something I want to talk to you about. I said, yes, sir. We'll see you soon. Bye. And I went, I knew right in here. I knew it. What he's going to talk to him about? I knew it what he's going to talk to him about. But it seemed like I could never get to Iowa fast enough. I'm just wanting to get. And so we preached. See, when you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter if it snows. It gets cold for months at a time. And you don't see the sun for 4.5 months. In the will of God. Yeah, man, I'm telling you. So he, Pastor Tim, you know, he takes his time about things. So we preached, and we preached the next service, and well, okay, you taking off in the morning? Yep, taking off in the morning. All right, how about we go to breakfast? Sure, yeah, let's go to breakfast. I got to hear what you need to talk to me about. Okay, we'll talk about it. We go to breakfast, we eat breakfast, we fellowship, it's time for me to leave.
Yep.
Say, well, I gotta go. All righty. Walk out to the car. Love that man. He is a blessing. What I wanted to talk to you about.
There it is. Come on.
He said he was gonna go, you know, start another church, so forth. Well, he ended up doing that. But so he said, I don't remember if he said it right away. He said something about, you know, you might want to. He said, I don't know if you'd be interested in taking the church. I said, well, might be. See, I hadn't talked to Pastor Debbie. So I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. I said, have you talked to anybody else? Anybody else you're considering? Nope. I'm like, great. No pressure or anything. I got home and was so excited. I distinctly remember she's sitting on the sofa. I'm sitting on the chair, and I'm almost bouncing on the chair, telling her about the church. And just because I was excited. She said, you really have this in your heart, don't you? I said, yeah, but I better calm down. I want you to see what God's saying to you. You pray about it. So she prayed. We knew. Praise God. Boy, just when you've been miserable. Because you haven't acknowledged. It's just so good to get that off of you. We got here. We didn't even have a house. Well, I mean, we didn't. We just, it was a quick transition, and we didn't even buy a house here. We wanted to just get up here. Just get in the will of God. Get a rental. I don't care. Put up a pup tent. Let me just get in the will of God. And we got up here, and we rented that house. I'll never forget it. I remember getting this a couple of times. This happened. Getting in bed, she's taking her makeup off or whatever, and I'm in bed already. And she'd come into the bedroom, and she'd see me laying there, and I'm just laying there, just this big old Chesapeake cat grin on my face. She said, "What are you so happy about?" I said, "It's so good to be in the will of God.
Amen.
It's so good."
Amen.
See,
Amen.
Where their spirit is Lord, there's joy and liberty. And stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah. But I don't understand. I you know, it's Iowa. It's not nice in the wintertime. Trust in the Lord with all your what?
Heart.
Don't lean to your what?
Understanding.
Your understanding. Your understanding that it's cold for 4 months.
Yeah.
5 months.
Yes.
The leaves are getting ready to come. We have some nice property and we like the trees, but the leaves are getting ready to come off. And we'll see the neighbors for 5 months. So good to be in the will of God. Maybe we can move the whole church to Florida for 2 months every winter. Would that be all right? Praise the Lord. Lift up both hands. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
your Lord,
I trust
you
with all my heart.
I don't lean to my own understanding, my own feelings, how I've got things figured out. I'm going to acknowledge you. First, acknowledge your word. Second, acknowledge the dealings of your Holy Spirit. When I just know what you're saying to me, I will acknowledge it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You live on the inside of me. I have an unction. And I know. I will acknowledge the word. I will continually say that the all-knowing one lives in me. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for ordering my steps. And as you direct me, you're taking my life from glory to another level of glory. Hallelujah. I'm willing and obedient. And I eat the good of the land. I'm so grateful, Father, that you're my heavenly Father and that you care for my life. Even more than I want to walk in the goodness of God, you want me to have it. Thank you for being a good Father. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Come up here, singers. We need to sing that. I trust you, I trust you. You know that? I trust you, I trust you. Find the chord. Say it out loud again. I trust you. Hallelujah. You know why we go blah, blah, blah sometimes? It's because we know. You know what I mean by blah, blah, blah? We don't want to acknowledge something the Lord's dealing with us. We close ourselves off to it. It's because we know what to do. But we don't want that to be what he's dealing with us about. Anybody ever been there? We know what he's saying, but we don't want that to be what he's saying. Oh, looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. We all know what that's like. We know what he's saying, but we don't want that to be what he's saying. We don't want it. But we know. You know where liberty comes? Acknowledging what he's saying. But your flesh goes, but we don't want that. You say, shut up. Jesus is Lord. The Spirit's Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sing that. Sing this out of your heart with them.
I trust you. I trust you.
Close your eyes. Lift your hands.
I trust you, Lord. I do. I never even worry that I might not make it through because I trust you, I trust you, I trust you, Lord, I do. Because I know you love me, I will always trust in you.
I trust you,
I trust you, I trust you, I trust you, Lord, I do. I never even worry.
Say it to him. Yes, I do.
I trust you.
I trust you.
I trust you, Lord. I do. Because I know you love me, I will always trust in you. I trust you.
Sing it again.
I trust you.
I trust
you, Lord. I do. I never even worry that I might not make it through because
You. Hallelujah. You know why you can do that? Because am I on testing? Because he's got your best interest at heart. He's got your best interest at heart. And things you don't think would satisfy you, you don't think you would enjoy, you don't think that, you know, that's not me. Trust him. He knows you better than you know yourself. I said, trust him. He knows you. He knows your future. He knows what you want, what you really need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
You can just be seated just for a minute. We won't take long.
I know you've got roast in the oven and all that. So, the Lord dealt with me at the beginning of the service. There's somebody, and particularly, I believe they're watching by live stream, but this actually could be several people can take a hold of this, but in particular, it's one person that I believe the Lord wants to get to. And you've had some family members pass on, and the devil's been harassing you that that's the same thing's going to happen to you. He's been harassing you that he's going to take you out like that, or with sickness and disease. You know, well, because they were spiritual. No, don't listen to that. Acknowledge what the word says. Acknowledge and be faithful. Acknowledge what God's word says, that I shall live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. Acknowledge that and rebuke that thing. Now, the Lord also, I don't know if mom or my family knew this. Well, mom would have known this. Several years ago, right before my dad turned 50 years old, I was talking to him on the phone. One night I was prompted by the Spirit of God, and he was just really going through a tough time. I mean, we've all been there, done that. No persecution. You know, I love my dad, and I honored him and respected him. I didn't try to preach to him what to do, because I'm his daughter. I'm trying to be respectful. But it was after a John Osteen meeting. And if you knew anything about John Osteen, he was a very bold man of God. We were at a camp meeting service, and the Lord dealt with me. I asked Pastor Jay back when they had phone booths, and I asked him to stop. And so I called, and knowing that my dad was really dealing with some of these things, and he proceeded to tell me that he didn't believe he was going to live past the age of 50. And the Spirit of God came on, I don't know if you remember this, Mom, the Spirit of God came on me, and I preached to him. And I wasn't his daughter anymore. I was just being obedient to the Spirit of God. And I was declaring and acknowledging some things. And I said, Dad, you will live and not die, and declare that you've got to say it, that you've got, and just preach that message to him on the phone booth. And he made the changes and lived several years after that. Amen. So what I'm saying is, acknowledge. You're hearing the word today. Take that and acknowledge it. Well, I know you believe that. Well, you can believe it too. Acknowledge and be faithful. Do what God tells you to do. Get involved where God tells you to get involved. And just, you know, there's several times the enemy will try to come in. He does it with us and tries to get you uneasy or anxiety or whatever. Acknowledge God's word, and you will always get past that time. Don't acknowledge. He's trying to take me out. And those type. I know that may be the truth. He is. But let's acknowledge that we are overcomers in Christ. Let's acknowledge that we are the healed of the Lord. I'm dealing with symptoms. Acknowledge who you are in Christ. And I'm not saying that you may not have to, you know, get some extra rest, or sometimes you've got some symptoms and you need to take care of yourself. You understand. But we acknowledge who we are in Christ. And that was specifically for somebody by live stream, I believe. But we can all take that. Don't let the devil kill you early. Amen. And what your family does not determine what happens to you if you acknowledge. Sure, there are some things I noticed that traits and different things, you know, good and maybe some things sickness-wise that I dealt with that was in my family tree. But you know what? I go back to Jesus and my new nature in Christ. That's my family tree right now. So acknowledge that and who you are in Christ, and you're going to get through that trial and that temptation. He can't take you out. And, you know, ask him, why hasn't he done it yet anyway? But you don't let him take you out. Acknowledge what the Word of God says. Amen. You can stand up.
Would you stay up here with me?
Sure.
Praise God. Amen. That was an interesting event whenever she were downtown Tulsa. It's, what, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Not a place you want to be. And she said, I need to call my dad now, find a phone booth. We're down there on some street. We don't know what's going on down there. She's out there going, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're married or engaged, take your spouse's hand or your future spouse's hand in the name of Jesus. Right now, wherever you are, even if you're up here. The Lord dealt with me recently. I was on the phone with Debbie, actually, Tuesday or Wednesday. I was down in Branson. I'm talking to her on the phone. I don't remember what we were talking about. And I said to her, I said, God gave you to me as a suitable help. A suitable help. And when I said that, I got convicted. I'm not saying that enough. I'm not saying who she is to me in God. I'm not saying it, you know, by myself, and I'm not saying it to her. Not to preach at her, but you know what I mean. Just what the Bible says. Just what the Bible says. Yes, you are a suitable help for me. You're a blessing. As husbands and wives, I want to encourage you. You're holding hands right now. I want to encourage you. Start acknowledging who God said your spouse is. Other than just, well, you know, I know this bad habit and I know that. Say about them what God says about them. Got quiet in here, didn't it? We live in the home together and we know each other after the flesh. Let's know each other after the spirit. She's a godsend suitable help to me. Bible said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. She's a good thing to me. Good blessing. Amen. Start saying, well, I don't know what the Bible said. Well, you better get started finding out. That's faith, and that'll pull the best out. That'll evoke what's in her to come out. How many of you know when somebody starts saying, you're a blessing? That just makes you want to be a blessing. Isn't that right? So let's start doing that. Amen. Turn to your spouse right now. Let's practice. I know some of you are embarrassed, but let's just practice right now. Say to your spouse, if you're a husband, say to your wife, you're a suitable help. You're a gift from God. Boy, it's quiet. Say it out loud. You're a suitable help. You're a gift from God. And I treasure you and cherish you as the Lord cherishes the church. You're valuable and precious to me.
You're valuable and precious.
Amen. And then you wives, you say something back. I don't meditate in the wives' verses, so I have to think about what the wives have to say. Yeah, say something. Find something. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to do that. The Lord dealt with me about this week. Hey, no kissing over there now. I saw that. Take it to the house. Amen. No, go ahead and kiss your spouse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came to church this morning?
Amen. 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 There's just one more thing, and trust me, I don't do this all the time. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. We're going to stand together. My brother's had some things come against him, and we're standing. And I believe he's supposed to be here today when he talked to me on the phone about a week ago and said he wanted to come. And then he said, I'm coming. First, they were coming on Sunday, but then he said, well, Saturday night. And I knew in my spirit, yep, he needs to be in the service. And the anointing is where the yoke is broke. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And we stand in that at home. But Billy, we want to, we want to, why don't you and Emma come forward? And we just want to agree with you on 100%. 100%. And the things that the enemy's tried to come against you and Emma, and even Emma's health as well. He's tried to come against you, but have you noticed he hasn't been able to perform it? He hasn't. Yeah, there you go. Just keep getting back up. So why don't you come up, and we're just going to minister to you the anointing. And, you know, you both grew up with laying on of hands, and you understand that.
Amen. Reach your hands toward him.
And we just thank God that this stuff has turned around. God's will and his way. You know, you have to do what he says, and that's between you and him. But we just minister to you by the anointing of the Lord.
Same anointing.
Jesus' name.
Yes, the same anointing that raised Christ from the dead goes into your body to heal, to restore nerves, to settle the stomach, to settle all that the enemy tried to destroy in your physical body, so that you, I'm just interpreting what the Spirit of God said, so that you might live long and live healthy and fulfill your days and finish your course. Ha! So, Lord, we thank you for that. We receive that. Billy receives that. Emma receives that. And we just rejoice in what you're doing in his life and in his body. Not only in his body, but Father, just their lives, their Billy and Emma's lives in the family, and bringing them into more knowledge of you and all that you're doing. We rejoice in it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Because there's lives that you need to touch. And Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that ministers to Emma.
Yes.
Oh, we thank you, Father. We've been friends for years. We've been friends for years, and I thank you for the anointing of God that ministers to her. And Lord, you've seen her heart and so many that she's reached out to and helped. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God that ministers to her body and drives out sickness and disease. And I thank you, Father, that you've helped her be strong during this time. She's been able to work and do things extra, probably even more than she thought she would be able to do in this time. But we thank you for your faithfulness.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, I would ask you to minister to Emma about that family member that she knows is getting ready to go be with the Lord, and you would help her, comfort her, that he will be far better. Far better. Far better. And we thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you.
That you prepare her heart and help her. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't let's just rejoice with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Isn't God good? Amen.